I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Weekdays, 9 to 11 o'clock, I am bringing you your safe space for the independent thinker out there, those of us beholden to no party, no politician. I run the Underground Railroad out of the two-party plantation on a daily basis here, so thanks for joining me. I spent the last several days away from news stuff, personal life, stepped in. I'm usually kind of researching stuff all the time. It's almost interesting in today's day and age just to step away from everything for a couple of days, just have normal human interactions, to be doing other things, and then to come back into looking at the news, kind of taking a look at the world, like it really did it yesterday and this morning. It's almost stunning how used to the insanity I can get to a degree. And I start trying to do show prep for today, and I just look at headlines. I find myself just laughing at where we are. I just saw the story that Sports Illustrated now is going to have their first, in their swimsuit edition, the first transgender of color. This was just one of the many stories. It made me laugh out loud when I saw this, just the absurdity of what we have become. I've got stories today from what's going on with us financially, what's going on with this person that we have running this country right now. And I got to tell you, there were days I thought the same thing about Donald Trump. And if I was not on air at the time, but same thing with Obama and Bush, when I just look at the state of things is insane. This is not even to mention all of the COVID things that are still going on. I'm telling you right now, we better be careful. I am looking at these headlines out of Europe. They are locking them back down again. As goes Europe, so goes the U.S. This is how it played out the last two times. So pardon me if I'm a little nervous about the idea that this is coming our way. We just continue. I've got a great clip from Rand Paul today. Hope I can find that clip. I don't know if I have it on my show notes today, but you know, there was the exchange between Anthony Fauci and Rand Paul about the masks in theater. It made the rounds on national media. National media covered it as, you know, Rand Paul being crazy and daring to challenge the almighty miniature Mengele Fauci. But there was another part of that testimony that nobody heard. It wasn't played on the media, but it was where Rand Paul made some pretty salient points that are certainly worth discussing. Anyway, it's just very odd to go out into the real world. I do things. I mean, I'm not absorbed in this show. I'm not absorbed. I don't let this stuff dictate my life. I do plenty of things. But it's rare that for two or three days at a time, I will totally disconnect from everything and then step back into it. And that's where I see the insanity. It led me to my quote of the day today. This is credited to Euripides in ancient Greece. He said, those whom the gods would destroy, they first make mad. I mean, wow. That saying is, what, thousands of years old? It shows that really nothing changes in humanity. Those whom the gods would destroy, they first make mad. We have gone, as a people, insane. Absolutely insane. Now, I was looking at, of course, one of the things that I came back to that I didn't see at the time that it happened was Joe Biden falling up the stairs and The first thing I thought was, boy, it was like a 5-second clip that pretty much explained Joe Biden's career. Falling upwards until he gets to the very top and he does his presidential salute to his guards, I guess, when he gets to the top of the stairs. This is Joe Biden's entire career. He's been climbing the political ladder, stumbling all the way up, accomplishing nothing. And this frail old man has now assumed the mantle of President of the United States. And it got me thinking, and I may have asked this last week. I don't know if I got around to it. I can't remember what spurred my thought on it last week. But what is the over-under on Joe Biden at this point? Now, everybody, well, not everybody. A lot of people, particularly conservatives and Republicans, believe that Joe Biden will not serve out his first term, certainly will not serve two terms. The guy's already 78, 70, is he 79 yet? And so if he's not going to serve out his first term, my initial blush was, my initial thinking was they can't let him go out in his first calendar year. That would just be too obvious. You know, they've got to kind of Thad Cochran him. Remember when the Republican Party told you that Thad Cochran had to go back to Congress, that everything was fine? There were certainly people that were pointing to the fact that he was in some level of mental decline, but the Republican Party rallied around him and said, oh, you can't bring this outsider. I believe he was running against, or Chris McDaniels was challenging him at the time. And I listened to a lot of the other radio stations, the WGOPs in the market here, and they said, well, you know, Thad Cochran, he's on the Appropriations Committee. We got to send him back. And a lot of people were saying, the guy has been there for, what, 32 years or something at the time? Everybody knew that he wouldn't serve out his term, and it played out exactly like they thought. Thad Cochran got reelected with the boosting of the Republican Party here in Mississippi. Then he goes in, he does, what, 2 years, and then they replace him with Cindy Hyde Smith so the Republican Party could control the candidate and they can do the appointment of one of their establishment candidates. We saw it coming a mile away. Well, we know the same thing is going on with Joe Biden, and he's going to go out. So I originally had maybe next May of 2022, accident, stroke, a medical issue, something along the line. I don't think they'll allow it to just be, it won't be a 25th Amendment type situation, the Democrats still being in control of Congress at that point. It'll have to be some kind of an accident. But I got to tell you, the timeline may be accelerating. The man cannot take any questions. He is not up to this job. It's quite obvious to anybody willing to pay attention, but that's only about 30% of the people, I think. I watched the interview with that Joe Biden did with George Stephanopoulos on ABC, where George Stephanopoulos, essentially the little tyrant wannabe warmonger, George Stephanopoulos, the Democratic operative, the establishment player, George Stephanopoulos, one of the really kind of part of the deep state media complex, just led our president into saying that Vladimir Putin is a killer, that he has no soul. Just drug him by the nose to have him. Do you think he's a killer? This is what George Stephanopoulos. Do you think he's a killer? To which Joe Biden said, yeah. You know, he didn't want to seem weak. Want to keep that Russia hysteria going. And there is no telling what they could drag that man into in his severe mental decline that he's in. So when do you think that Joe Biden will actually be replaced? Again, what I may do is you can email me, MikeMadison@WYAB.com. You can email me. I'll store all of the guesses on when you think Joe Biden's going to be replaced. And then whoever gets closest to it, we'll take you out for a pizza and a beer or an iced tea at Your Pie or something. Because I'm very interested to know. I got to tell you, I may have to accelerate my timeline. But I never underestimate what they can do with pharmaceuticals. They've gotten Joe in front of a teleprompter a few times. I've been pretty impressed at his ability to read for 15, 20 minutes. So, and I'm also interested in what is going on with the media right now. The media is doing some surprising things. You know, they're going after Cuomo, their darling of just a few months ago. They're going after him for all this sexual harassment. And now, I mean, I got to tell you, I am surprised at the amount of coverage that the border issue is getting. And at the same time, I'm very suspicious. Why is the media actually doing their job right now and reporting on the crisis at our southern border under Joe Biden's leadership? That's air quotes here in the studio. Why are they doing that? I feel like they're up to something. I saw somebody did a column that said that they thought that this was, they were going to point to this illegal immigration as a driver of COVID in order to lock us down again. It'll be responsible for another wave. That doesn't really jive with me, but it is almost odd. There were interviews this past weekend where some of the worst in the mainstream media actually kind of grilled. I mean, you know, the media's tough treatment of a Democrat is very different than their tough treatment of Donald Trump. But for a Democrat, they actually kind of came out and went after the conditions that borderline talking about kids in cages, that these facilities are overwhelmed. Why is the media suddenly doing their job? Is this part of going ahead and brushing away Biden? Does he not have long to go? And so they feel like they can act like they are actually reporters and go ahead and take him out. It's surprising. It's surprising to see the media actually. Now, I think I know the Cuomo thing. They're trying to deflect Cuomo's actual murder of senior citizens in New York, his horrible mishandling, his decimation of the businesses in New York. I mean, Andrew Cuomo, what he has done to New York and the death that has gone on in New York, essentially at his discretion almost, it certainly eclipses touching some woman in the mid of her back and saying something inappropriate, although he does look like a creep. I will remind everybody, I don't know why anybody's really surprised that there are sexual harassment. This is the guy that got photographed with nipple rings in last year. Did a press conference in one of those kind of sheer polo shirts, and you could see that he had bars through his nipples. How do you expect that kind of a human being to interact with his subordinate female cohorts? But I can kind of understand the media going after him on the sexual harassment stuff to cover up his stuff. But I really having a hard time wrapping him up. I'm just so shocked. Is it possible that the media has suddenly gotten honest? I crack myself up sometimes. Of course not. There's a reason that they are actually questioning hard and bringing up the border crisis, because we know that the media can drag us to and from any story they want to, and they have chosen to focus us actually on illegal immigration at the border and the mistreatment of unaccompanied children there. There's something behind that. I think only time will tell what it is. When it comes to Mexico, though, Tucker Carlson did a segment about the southern border. And he had somebody on with that researches it. I'll have to look and see. I didn't write the guy's name down. I'm not sure if he's a border agent or not. I think he might be a former border agent that monitors the borders right now. But he had this guy on, and I thought it was a little bit of a teachable moment. So when we come back, we'll play this interview Tucker did on the southern border. You're going to get a little bit of a different take at it from here, right here from the Mike Madison Show. I'll be right back.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at DanksMillerCorey.com.
Before I get into this clip with Tucker about the border crisis, I want to remind everybody, I just thought about it. If you would like to see, well, let me put it this way. I would like to see Delbert Hoseman's attempt to get his cronies in on the medical marijuana industry here in Mississippi. Delbert Hoseman is trying to muddy the waters, put up some parallel system for medical marijuana, not what the thing that Mississippians voted for, but he's trying to carve out a big chunk of the business just for his cronies. But if you would like to see what Mississippians voted for to go into effect instead of Delbert Hoseman's crony bill, go to keep65.com. It takes 15 seconds to get on there. Go to keep65.com, enter your address. It'll pop up who your rep is. They're voting on that this week. Possibly by, I think tomorrow's the deadline. Not sure if they're doing it today, but weigh in. You enter your address, click, find your rep, click. It sends a letter. It says keep 65 as the Mississippians voted for it. What Mississippians voted for is a very good bill. Delbert Hoseman's trying to – so Delbert Hoseman is trying to carve this out for some of his cronies. And this is really what the anti-establishment movement is about, is stopping this crony capitalism, these political favors to the donor class. This is what Delbert Hoseman is trying to do. So we need to try to stop him. Keep65.com takes 15 seconds. Let your legislator know you want 65 as Mississippians voted for it. Even if you didn't vote for it, you should at least support the people's voice over Delbert Hoseman's crony bill. 15 seconds. That's all it takes. All right, I wanted to get on this border stuff. Again, I don't know why the media is talking about the border stuff. I smell a rat here. Something's going on. They're not honest people, so there's some other reason that they are actually being critical of the Biden administration. We know Joe Biden could pretty much get away with anything he wants to get away with. Complete mental decline? Sure, the media's got his back. But suddenly they're actually calling this out. Strange days indeed. But I wanted to play this Tucker Carlson clip. He brings on a guy, I think it looks like his name is Jason Jones, monitors the border. And I want you to hear this guy's telling of what the border situation is right now, because I think this is just something, again, you're going to get a different take on this show than you will anywhere else. But this is what I heard when I listened to this clip.
Jason Jones is a former Texas border security captain. He joins us live from the southern border, as he did last night. Jason Jones, thanks so much for coming on. We asked you last night for the latest on what you're seeing and hearing down there, and I would ask that again tonight. What does it look like?
Yeah, Tucker, thanks for having me. It's good to be with you tonight. Well, we were in Roma, Texas this morning, and for the viewers, Roma is a small community that lies between Laredo and McAllen, Texas, right in the center. And we were sitting on the bluffs at 7:40 this morning when a large gun battle broke out. Now, across from Roma, Texas, is a small community called Miguel Alemán. That community has been embattled between two cartels for the last 2 years, Cartel de Gafo, also known as the Gulf Cartel, and Cartel del Noreste, known as the Los Zetas by many. Those two cartels have been battling for 2 years, and we caught that gun battle this morning.
Remarkable. And
we're seeing infants. Gunfire, gun battle. Hey, can you turn real quick so they can hear it? Oh, yeah, there it goes. We're still alive.
Not a rock, Texas.
Now, that's a great...
It makes Jackson, Mississippi sound pretty good.
Great point. And that's where we talk about that what's happening at our border is much more in depth than just the immigration layer. And I don't want to just say just, because it's a serious issue. But it's important that the American people know that what is happening down here is much broader in scope than just people crossing our border. And, you know, these gun battles are happening. Now, we were talking with CBP officials, state and local law enforcement. They're hearing these gun battles between 2 and 4 times a week. And in December, we were down there with Lara Logan and her team, and we caught an hour and a half long gun battle. And Tucker, I want you to know I'm talking everything from 40 millimeter grenades, 50 caliber belt fed machine guns, armored vehicles. These things are massive, and it goes really to the breadth of how the cartels have evolved and gone through quantum leaps and changes. But this is what is occurring at our southern border, and, you know, it's much bigger than just an immigration issue down here.
Apparently, the new president has moved additional U.S. troops to Syria, is resisting pulling American troops out of Afghanistan. Do you see American troops on our border as a war rages right across the river?
I do, and it's time. We need to do a lot more in that arena. The cartels are not just a U.S.-Mexico problem, I think, the way most people see them. They have gone through massive changes. And give you an example of that. Sinaloa cartel is in 54 countries around the world. Cartel Jalisco New Generation is in over 48 now. So, you know, this is a global problem. And We have continued to do the same thing, hoping for a different result, building cases on these folks as they have evolved all over the world and begin using military-grade weapons and tradecraft that we're seeing, you know, terrorist organizations around the world using. And that's why we've been calling to designate them as foreign terrorist organizations. And I just want to stress, that doesn't mean we go to war with the cartels, but what it Right. does mean is that we use the tools of national power to finally focus on them.
So there you go. I will remind everybody, I've done segments on this before. The Sinaloa cartel that he mentions is in operating in more than 50 countries right now. The United States CIA actually took the side of the Sinaloa cartel. And there was a big drug war, and the CIA said, well, it'll be a little bit more stable if we back one cartel over the other. So as to not leave, you know, a power vacuum, which is what happens every time one of these cartels is hit or one of the cartel leaders goes down, there's a power vacuum, it erupts into more violence. Of course, the flow of drugs is never interrupted, no matter what happens. So the Sinaloa cartel, I don't know, bringing national power into fighting the Sinaloa cartel, who the CIA has already thrown their weight behind, kind of seems disingenuous to me. But most people don't know that. They certainly won't talk about it on the mainstream news. But the reason that I bring it up is because that is the what's going on in the southern border. That is your drug war. For all of you drug warriors out there, and I understand your emotional knee-jerk reaction to drugs. They're bad. They destroy lives. But you know what destroys more lives than drugs themselves? The drug war. This failed war on drugs. How many decades have we been fighting in earnest this drug war? And now we've got the Sinaloa cartel and other cartels that are Mexican actually operating in 50-plus countries around the world. You heard this guy that monitors the border talking about all the advanced weaponry, the armored Humvees, the armored personnel carriers, the firepower that these cartels have. Huh, where did they get the money for all of these things? That's really weird. It's, oh, you know what it is? It's the black market drug world. This is your drug war. And it is driving this problem at the southern border as well, because many people come here. Some come for the free benefits. Some come to escape poverty. Poverty that is large part because of the fact that Mexico is a failed narco state, because the cartels have corrupted Mexico. If we had just a couple of national brain cells to rub together, we would finally understand that what you're seeing on our southern borders is a combination of many things, and at the root of many of those things is the drug war. It is the massive amounts of money that flow into things like the cartels. We caught on to this during Prohibition, and we saw the rise of Al Capone. Within months, all of a sudden, you saw gangs erupt and violence erupt in Chicago. The violence you're seeing in Chicago right now that people love to point out, they just conveniently leave out that this is probably mostly drug war violence in Chicago as well. The drug war is such an incredibly massive failure. I don't know what more to say about it. Yet people pretend that maybe if we just do a little bit more. You know what we've done ever since the 1970s? And this drug war has been going on really for about 100 years. But we got really serious about it when Richard Nixon came out and said we were going to fight this drug war. All the while, the CIA running opium from Vietnam. Ever since we announced this really hardcore crackdown on illegal drugs back in the 1970s and launched this drug war, the cartels have gotten bigger. The drugs are more plentiful. The violence is worse. And it is causing people south of our border to run for their lives. And where are they running to? The United States. If you want to take care of the southern border, we've got to end this drug war. And you can rebel against it emotionally all you want. I get you. I'm with you. Drugs destroy lives. But they don't destroy as many lives as the drug war itself destroys. I wish people would wake up to this. And when you hear of cartels, just understand, oh yeah, that's that thing that's funded by the drug war itself. The cartels go away if there is no drug war. They may move into other vice areas like the mafia did. And then you have a decision to make on what you on other prohibitions. Prohibition does not work. It didn't work for alcohol. It's not working for drugs. And it is creating massive problems. So when you hear about the problems on the southern border, you need to understand it is largely driven by a failed state in Mexico. And the reason Mexico is such a failed state, because really they don't have to be, is largely because it is primarily run by massive cartels funded by black market profits.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me. Yes, you just heard a conservative radio talk show host talking about ending the drug war. It's actually conservative and freedom-based, and it's pragmatic because it just doesn't work. Probably one of my least popular talking points here. I've had people, you know, respond to me by email and tell me, oh, I like a lot of what you do, but we just can't end this drug war. Really? Really? All right. Had other stuff to get into. I was talking to Biden. I'm going to start running. I want some kind of a contest here. I got to figure out something to give away. I think it's going to be something maybe meal related. I want to know what you think the over-under is on Joe Biden. Give me a date. It could be a month. It doesn't have to be a day. I'm saying May of 2022, Joe Biden suffers the fall that changes it all. Or something behind the scenes medical episode that takes Joe Biden out. And we have, I hear a lot of people talking about, well, who will replace Joe Biden? Isn't it automatically Kamala Harris? I guess the question would be, who would replace Kamala Harris? But I'm just wondering, how long does Joe Biden have? I mean, this spill on the stairs, his inability to take questions, his gaps. The guy is not long for this office. We know that. We've known that for some time. I'm just wondering if it's going to be sooner rather than later. I'm picking May of 2022. You can either join me in that guess, or if you have a different one, just email me, Mike Matt. I want you to email me because I want to put them in a file and award a prize to whoever. Is that sick? I mean, is that rude? I have a father that suffered from brain injuries and declining health, and it's almost tragic what we're seeing, Joe Biden. It's some people have referred to it, and I agree with them. It's elder abuse that they even put this man up for this office. Not to talk about the abuse that the American people will suffer as a result of his presidency, but it's elder abuse of Joe Biden that they even put him on this stage in the first place. So I don't ridicule him probably as much as I'd like to, out of some deference to the fact that I actually think this is sad on a human level. If he wasn't such a horrible, horrible human being, and if he didn't assume power over all of us, then maybe I would leave him alone about this. But I got to tell you, he makes himself fair game. I think it's sad, but I'm just wondering how much longer he's got in office. I wanted to play this, too. Speaking of Joe Biden, Joe Biden's no Jimmy Carter. I ran across this just by happenstance. It's segments out of a Jimmy Carter speech back in the 1970s. I tell you what, I'm going to take one more break. I'm going to come back and I'm going to play that because there's some kind of knock-on stories that go on with this to show you how the Democrats have changed since the 1970s. It's stunning. And to be honest with you, when you listen to this Jimmy Carter speech, now, he is not known to be one of our better presidents. The United States was in the grips of horrible inflation and bad economic times. And Jimmy Carter, look, I got to tell you, Jimmy Carter was as much a victim of timing. I'm no Carter fan. He may be a decent human being. I don't know enough about him to know if there's some nastiness behind the scenes on him. I wasn't politically aware when he was in office. But he took the helm just as the effects of Richard Nixon taking us off of the gold standard really started taking shape. This is when the money printers started going brrr. And Jimmy Carter winds up in office during this time. But when you listen to this clip from Jimmy Carter, just think about the difference between what you hear Jimmy Carter as a Democrat in the 1970s say versus what we're hearing not only from the Democrats, but even from most of the Republicans. Is it possible that Jimmy Carter was more conservative than Mitch McConnell? I don't know. You judge for yourself. I'm going to play that clip when we come back. Stay with me.
Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
I'm going to show you what a difference a generation makes with this clip from Jimmy Carter back in the 1970s. It was 30 years ago. 40 years ago. You think about Democrats today, they just passed their $1.9 trillion pork-laden spending bill, so-called, air quotes here in the studio, COVID relief. They are now readying what is, I've seen reported, anywhere between $2 and $4 trillion in infrastructure spending. They want free college. They want free health care. Free, yeah. That's such a misleading term, isn't it? But, of course, this comes on the heels of the Republican Party and Donald Trump doing about $4 trillion of stimulus last year. And again, I just smile a little bit when I see the Republicans jumping up and down and bringing their charts to the floor of the House and the Senate talking about spending. And they're just up in arms about this $1.9 trillion bill, as they should be. The problem is, when Donald Trump was president signing these massive spending bills, they didn't seem to have a big problem with it. When Donald Trump was doing an executive order of an extra $300 in unemployment benefits for everybody, that was somehow conservative and patriotic, I guess. Now, of course, we frown on it. But I just ran across this clip on Jimmy Carter. I want you to listen to Jimmy Carter. The Democrat, not a popular president, not a successful president, a one-termer. Listen to him back in the 1970s talk about the economic state of the country. And I've talked a lot on this show about inflation. I'll probably touch on that a little bit next hour. Jimmy Carter was facing inflation similar to what we are probably going to see because of the reckless spending and endless deficit spending. But listen to Jimmy Carter, the Democrat, in the 1970s. Contrast him with both the Democrats and the Republicans of today.
The government has been spending too great a portion of what our nation produces. During my campaign,
what?
I promised to cut the government share of our total national spending from 23%, which it was then, to 21% in fiscal year 1981. We now plan to meet that goal 1 year earlier. Reducing the deficit will require difficult and unpleasant decisions. We must face a time of national austerity. Hard choices are necessary if we want to avoid consequences that are even worse. I intend to make those hard choices. I have already vetoed bills that would undermine our fight against inflation, and the Congress has sustained those vetoes. I know that the Congress will continue to cooperate in the effort to meet our needs in responsible, non-inflationary ways. I will use the administrative and the budgetary powers of my office, including the veto if necessary, to keep our nation firmly on the path of fiscal restraint.
Oh, what? Fiscal restraint? No wonder this guy was a one-termer.
Restraint involves tax policy as well as spending decisions. Tax reduction has never been more politically popular than it is today. But if future tax cuts are made rashly, with no eye on the budget deficits, they will hurt us all by causing more inflation. There are tax cuts which could directly lower costs and prices and help in the fight against inflation. I may consider ways to reduce those particular taxes while still cutting the budget deficit. But until we have a convincing prospect of controlling inflation, I will oppose any further reductions in federal income taxes.
Now, that's typical Democrat right there. You know, we got to make sure we keep the money flowing into Washington, D.C. We can't afford you little people out there to keep any more of the money that you earned. The difference between what Democrats say now, which is that same thing, you know, they need to keep the money flowing into Washington. They're talking about raising taxes on people that make over $400,000 now. Really, they're raising taxes on everybody, particularly through inflation. But here's the difference between Democrats of now and Jimmy Carter's Democrats back in the 70s.
To keep the government to a manageable size.
What?
I'm ordering tonight a cut in federal hiring. This order will mean a reduction of more than 20,000 in the number of permanent federal employees already budgeted for this fiscal year, and will cut the total size of the federal workforce. I've already placed a 5.5% cap on the pay increase for federal employees, and federal executive officers are receiving no pay increases at all. It's not enough just to control government deficits, spending, and hiring. We must also control the costs of government regulations.
Oh my gosh!
In recent years, Congress has passed a number of landmark statutes to improve social and environmental conditions. We must and we will continue progress toward protecting the health and safety of the American people. But we must also realize that everything has a price and that consumers eventually pick up the tab.
Oh my gosh, think about that. That was a Democrat back in the 1970s saying that with all these regulations, they end up costing more. And guess who pays for all of the regulations? The consumer. And of course, this hasn't stopped Democrats from getting fully on board with regulations, and they tell you it's because they love you and that they're just trying to make sure that everybody's safe and happy. They don't tell you that for every regulation that they pass, they are picking your pockets. One of the best things about Donald Trump is he tried to reduce regulations. The only problem I have with that is I really don't know which ones he undid. But I applaud him for his attempts and his talking about that. But just imagine, this is a Democrat, the head of the Democrat Party, the president of the United States, Democrat Jimmy Carter, talking about regulations and not layering them on businesses back in the 70s.
Where regulations are essential, they must be efficient. Where they fight inflation, they should be encouraged. Where they are unnecessary, they should be removed.
So there you go. That, I just, like I say, I just ran across that. It certainly has no bearing on today's news, except for the fact that this was, I don't think we understand until we have kind of a reference point in the past to see exactly how far we've gone. And again, you don't really hear, you'll hear the Republicans talking about reducing regulations, but you sure as hell never hear them talking about cutting government, containing the growth of government. Well, I take that back. Maybe you'll hear them talk about it. But George W. Bush grew the government. H.W. Bush grew the government. Even Ronald Reagan grew the government. And yes, sadly, Donald Trump significantly grew the government during his time in office. So it was not that long ago to you thinking Democrats out there. You return to your roots, please, to the John F. Kennedy days And I guess to even the Jimmy Carter days, where you had a little bit more sanity when it comes to things. But just to think about the fact that this is a Democrat president talking about deficits. Now, what's equally amusing, and somebody who really pays attention to this stuff, and now as an outsider, is it was Dick Cheney that came in during the Reagan administration that said, oh, deficits don't matter. He said they don't matter. And we've been off to the races ever since. They do matter, I can assure you. Ultimately, they do matter. History is littered with countries that were overly indebted, and in the end, it mattered. Now, when the end is, that is the tough part. Last week, you had jobless claims in this country. With all of this stimulus, just imagine this. We've got $6 trillion of, air quotes here in the studio, stimulus put out into the U.S. economy. And last week, you had another 750,000 people that were put out of work, first time unemployed. If this had happened just a year before, prior to the COVID hysteria, it would have been considered catastrophic. I'm not sure if 750, I'd have to go back and look at the great financial crisis of 2008, 2009. I'm not sure if we had weeks that were above 750. We've had them over 750 for almost a year every week now. And it is just reported as, well, we were expecting only 718,000 people to lose their jobs. We had seven. So that's bad because we had 750,000. Or they say, well, we were expecting 760,000, but we only had 718,000 people lose their jobs. That's great. That's bullish. They treat that as actually good news. I can assure you it is not for the 750,000 people that lost their jobs. It does not mean that the stock market should go up and that all is rosy. But they have presented this to us now as the new normal. And this has happened really within a generation. I started paying attention politically really during the Clinton administration. So the Reagan administration, I was for Reagan because my father was for Reagan. I was against Carter. I didn't really care about H.W. didn't really know what he was doing, but he was a Republican, so I figured that was good. I can't believe I just sat there and watched a Bush in office and thought he was great. Hell, I voted for the little Bush. But this is within one generation where we decided. And the funny thing is during Carter's administration, he saw the effects of inflation. He saw the effects immediately of coming off the gold standard and doing all this money printing. And maybe he tried to do a few things. Look, he tried to micromanage. He should have just left it to the free market and would have figured it out. He wanted centrally controlled price controls, all kinds of things that don't work. But then it just became normal. And that's why we are where we are now, because the things Carter railed against, well, they just said, oh, well, it's normal now.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Phone number here, 601-879-0002. You want to weigh in on anything? I was talking before the break about where we've come in a generation where I stumbled across this speech by Jimmy Carter where he actually talks about debt, deficits, inflation, the things we try to hide now. We focus on things like the Atlanta shootings or the Miami spring breakers that went out. You know, I looked at that thing. They're couching the Miami. If you didn't see, the streets in Miami were just filled with partiers and revelers, maskless. And a lot of the footage that I saw when the cops came in, they used SWAT teams to disperse the crowd. They've put in an 8 p.m. curfew because curfew, we just live at the convenience of our ruling class. George Flags with his 7:30 p.m. to 7:30 a.m. curfew on children 17 and younger. You just have, we just put in mayors right now, and they let us know where we can go, when we can go, when we need to be sit at home. We just go on arbitrary timeouts. So the mayor of Miami now says 8 o'clock curfew. And they ran out these crowds using sound cannons and SWAT teams. I think 1,000 people were arrested. Now, I don't know if there was a lot of violence in that crowd or whatever, but I'm seeing this couched as a racist issue. A lot of the crowds were black. To this, I would say to the black community, I think this is a bit of a teachable moment for you. I've been kind of amazed to watch, knowing the history of decades of struggle by the black community to get their freedom in this country from what has been an oppressive government. You did such impressive things, marches and protests, people willing to take a beating, go to jail to make themselves a martyr, to raise awareness of the cause. You fought so hard for your freedoms, and then in the last year, you just gave them all away. Just laid down with these petty tyrants. If you're vulnerable, take your own precautions. If you want to wear a mask, wear your mask. But what I saw was, in large parts, the black community just said, oh, we got to support these people who are shutting down our businesses. You got to follow that. You've been tricked into this Democrat talking point that you're somehow championing the science. It's just stunning to me. It's like the Jewish people in Israel right now are wearing color-coded bracelets for their vaccine status. I just think, wow, Jewish people aren't a little sensitive to something akin to an armband? It's not that long ago that did not work out very well for you in Germany in the 1930s. Now they're walking around with wristbands. I don't know. It's just maybe we're either ignorant of history, or maybe I'm seeing it through a different lens, but I've watched the black community really support leadership that has, Lumumba's still in office, George Flagg's still in office. They don't seem to be held to account for locking up young people. Even if you believe the young people are the problem, that's the issue for the parents and the churches and the community at large, if parents aren't handling their children. But anyway, that's where the story's going. But so Carter was talking about debt and deficits back in the 1970s. What it's come to now is $1.9 trillion spending packages. I'm going a little somewhere with this. I wanted to play this one clip. Now we have Janet Yellen. Joe Biden has made her our Treasury Secretary. I want to remind you before you hear this clip, this is the same Janet Yellen that ran the Federal Reserve, printed money endlessly, that enriched the billionaire class. And she alone has made, in the time that she left the Federal Reserve in favor of Jerome Powell about four years ago, when Trump came in and he put Jerome Powell in to run the money printers. Trump didn't make any difference at the Federal Reserve except increase the printing. But during Janet Yellen's time off, she made the numbers that I've seen verified already, and they leave out a couple of years. But within, I think, the last couple of years, Janet Yellen made $7 million going around and talking to the big banks. Here's what she has to say about debt and deficits and inflation.
Back in 2017, you testified that long-term budget projections should keep people awake at night. The situation is worse now. Federal debt expected to exceed GDP for the first time since World War II. So are you getting any sleep?
I am getting sleep.
Yes, of course she's getting sleep. She's sitting on $7 million. She's been in this cushy job at the Federal Reserve. I mean, she does not have a care in the world.
My views have changed somewhat about fiscal sustainability.
Because now I'm the Treasury Secretary, and I know that this whole thing's going to fall apart if we don't just endlessly print out money and ship it out to different segments of the economy to keep it propped up. So I've had to change my mind.
Part because what we've seen all around the world is a trend toward very low interest rates. Interest rates in the United States...
It's not a trend. It's not a trend towards lower interest rates. This has been going on for 40 years, and it has been forced by the Federal Reserve, which she just headed. It's not just some natural trend towards lower interest rates. It is central banks around the world crushing interest rates so the elites can borrow for next to nothing.
Are much lower than they were in past decades, and you see that in all developed countries around the world. And it reflects structural trends that are not going to disappear soon. And
at least she doesn't think they're going to disappear soon.
When I think about the burden of debt, I think about it mainly in terms of the interest payments that the government needs to pay on those on that debt.
Okay, first of all, let's parse that out. She says she doesn't really worry about debt. It's really about just the interest payments that we're making on it. Just think about, this is the woman in charge of the U.S. Treasury right now. Think about our children and our grandchildren that are set to inherit this insolvent country. She's just worried about the payments on it. This is the Treasury Secretary. This is not some sideline commentator, bubblehead talker on CNBC. This is the Treasury Secretary. I'm not worried about the payments on the interest are real low, so we seem to be doing fine. She also says, I'm just worried about the interest payments that the government makes. Excuse me, Janet Yellen, where does the government get its money? See, the government produces nothing. It's what's the taxpayers. It's the interest payments that the taxpayers make. Now, she sleeps fine, again, $7 million in speaking fees to go speak to the groups that she was once tasked with, air quotes here in the studio, regulating. But it's the taxpayer that are making these huge interest payments. And if interest rates go up, we'll be making even bigger interest payments, substantially bigger.
And in spite of the fact that the debt has increased substantially, interest payments relative to the share, to the size of the economy have remained quite low, no higher than they were back in 2007. But, of course, we have to...
No, and 2007 was a great year, wasn't it? Obviously, we were on a great sustainable path on 2007. I mean, that's a great year to use because... Oh, wait a second. No, it wasn't a great year to use because the year after we had a massive financial catastrophe unfold around the world, and particularly here in the United States.
To make sure that the economy, that the budget is on a sustainable path. This is something that we can afford in the longer run.
You hear that, taxpayers? This is something you can afford. Don't worry about it. They can rack up as much debt. She has decided that all you little people out there, you can afford this.
And we need to get deficits under control to make sure that our fiscal situation is sustainable.
This is the elusive. At some point, we're going to need to get deficits under control, make sure everything's sustainable. This is what they've been saying since Jimmy Carter in the clip I played last hour. Now, what's a little interesting on that, it was just a story that I ran across when I heard that clip from her, too. Supercar manufacturers are blowing the wheels off. Have you seen this? Huge profits for the Lamborghini, Ferrari, Bugatti. All of the exotic supercar manufacturers, you know, the cars that are costing $1 million plus, they are killing it. During the pandemic in particular, they are killing it out there in the supercar market. Now, I don't know. I'd love to own a supercar at some point. Maybe you have a supercar. I love the fact that you've got these Italian craftsmen creating, I don't know, 4,500 of a specific supercar that just performs like nothing else. Just incredible machines. I'm a big supercar fan. But what does it say about a society where you've got 750,000 people filing for first-time unemployment benefits week in and week out, yet the supercar manufacturers are doing fantastic. Just fantastic. With mom and pop savers out there getting slaughtered trying to set aside a little bit of money, and you're getting, what, 0.25% on your savings? But the supercar manufacturers, the elites are buying more supercars than ever. And so hopefully you will feel better if you've got your money trapped in some little CD getting you 0.5% interest if you just tuck it away for 5 years, or if you're making 0.1% in your money market account, whatever it is these days. I hope you'd feel better knowing that the money that you're sacrificing is going towards the elites buying Lamborghinis, Ferraris, and Bugattis. I make it a mission of my show to make sure the proper people are thanked, and to all you lonely savers out there getting pennies on your dollars that you try to save for a rainy day, the elites thank you. They have just built an addition to their garage to add another couple of supercars because they get that money that cheap. And that's why you get interest that low. When I come back, there was one other spending thing I wanted to talk about. Well, really two. There was a report put out again about the U.S. facing off with China. And when I first saw this, for like a nanosecond, I thought, why in the world would they publicize this report? And then it hit me. I'll explain it when I come back. Stay with me.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
You know, this show really, in the end, it's a different way to look at the news and to look at the way information is presented and see kind of what's behind it. You know, when I hear the Tucker Carlson clip that I played earlier where it talked about all of the cartel violence on the southern border just right across the river from the United States, I want people to understand every time they mention cartels, human trafficking, all of these things, understand that it's all cartels. Just remember, it is all a consequence of the drug war. It's where they got all the money. This is why they run the Mexican government. This is why the military is incapable of taking down the cartels, because of the endless streams of narco funding that they get by being black market drug operations. And so it doesn't make much sense to continue a system that continues to funnel billions of dollars to narco terrorist groups. But until enough people look at the news that way and understand that, nothing will change. Everybody will continue to say, just spend 10% more on this drug war. We'll get it under control. Here's another way to look at things, too. Another thing, because I saw this story and I thought, what in the world? Why would they report that out loud? There's a story that was put out. I'm going to read a quote from it. It was they've looked at it at the RAND Corporation and other think tanks. They're looking at the United States facing off with China. Everybody feels like we're headed headlong into a war. I got to tell you, Joe Biden, everyone likes to say he's a Chinese asset. Well, Chinese may have a interest in starting a war, and maybe they run Joe Biden, so he'll start the war. But between Taiwan and there was a meeting between the Biden administration and the Chinese the other day, apparently just broke up with each of them just saying, screw you, and walking away from the table. So I don't know. It's a mystery on how we're going to approach China going forward. Of course, we do know the Bidens made money off of China, so there is that. But this report came out that said that we don't do so well in a military confrontation with China. Now, this doesn't surprise me. They've got 1.3 billion people over there. I can't remember how many people are in their military. 50 million, 100 million, something like that. It's a big number of people are in their military. We don't want war with China. Everybody's getting all excited thinking that, well, we took out Iraq and Libya. We need to put China on that list and go ahead and take it. They better not screw with us. We need to get our ships over to the South China Sea to show them who's who. Well, I got to tell you, be careful what you wish for. So this report comes out and it basically says, when they war game this thing, we don't do so well. I'll read this quote here. Whenever we war gamed a Taiwan scenario over the years, our blue team routinely got its ass handed to it. This is a quote. Because in that scenario, time is a precious commodity and it plays to China's strength in terms of proximity and capabilities, said David Ochmanek, a senior RAND Corporation analyst and former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for force development. Quote, that kind of lopsided defeat is a visceral experience for U.S. officers on the blue team, and as such, the war games have been a great consciousness-raising device. But the U.S. military is still not keeping pace with Chinese advances. For that reason, I don't think we're much better off than a decade ago when we started taking this challenge more seriously. And again, my first reaction was, why in the world are they out there touting to the world that we get our, as he says, ass handed to us by the Chinese in war game scenarios? They've tried a bunch of different scenarios. No matter how they war gamed it, we did not fare well. We were beat and beat very quickly by the Chinese. And then it hit me about a nanosecond later. Of course. You know what this calls for. Bigger military budgets. This RAND Corporation and all of these military think tanks that take their money from the big defense contractors are just setting us up to say, look, we've done the war games. We can't compete with China. Look, we're headed into a war with... So all of this stuff you hear about war with China and all of the problems... Look, there are problems with China. But the American psyche is always around that we need to dominate them. Not that we compete with them, not that we deal with them in some manner. We're not going to topple the Chinese communists. We're not going to do a ground invasion of China and their 1.3 billion people. So all of this idea that we need to face off militarily with China is stoked by the idea of weapon sales. And so many conservatives fall for this. I know, you know, I don't like China. Brutal, totalitarian, communist regime. If there's a true plague in the world, I would wish it would just wipe out the communist government over there and set those people free, and they would be maybe a beneficial world player. And they have. They're going around. They're buying up the world. Look, they'll end up with the same empire problems we've got because they're doing the same thing. They're just printing up money endlessly and spreading it around the world and buying natural resources and Belt and Road. I guess I should say, I mean, at least they're not bombing the crap out of people. But this is about military adventurism and the spending that goes along with it. And if this report gets any traction, as it will, I urge you conservatives to not fall for this yet again. And the next Republican that comes out and tells you that they're looking to increase military budgets again, please stop applauding for that. Start screaming out, where's the money coming from? At the very least, ask, what are you cutting to divert money to the military? Of course, we never do that, do we? We just applaud like mindless sheep every time they spend another $100, $150 billion per year on the military. And if you ask any soldier, they're not getting rich from this. You're not sending it to the boys and girls in uniform over there. You're sending it straight to the defense contractors. And that's what this report is all about. And last thing, kind of economic, that I wanted to touch on, too. As I say, I was kind of out of the game, so I've got a hodgepodge of things today. This was a story that was on Yahoo Finance. It was a reprint from Bloomberg. The financial services industry, braced for what could be its biggest disruption in decades, is about to get an early glimpse at the Federal Reserve's work on a new digital currency. This Bloomberg article says, Wall Street is not thrilled. Banks, credit card companies, and digital payment processors are nervously watching the push to create an electronic alternative to new paper bills. Or to the paper bills Americans carry in their wallet, or what some call a digital dollars and others call Fed coin. This is heading our way. I did watched a bit of a documentary last week about AI, and it started to get into the Chinese and their development of AI, but it was an on-the-ground look and talking to some of the Chinese leaders in AI and digital technologies, and they were taking us through China to see how Chinese are paying things, and it got into the social credit score. This Fed coin, this Federal Reserve digitized currencies, should be resisted at all costs. Unfortunately, I don't think it will be, and here's why. Because the United States is now in the business. Our government and our economy is run on now the federal government sending money to people, just enough to keep you docile. Not enough to really improve your life. Just enough to keep you on the couch streaming Netflix. Can you imagine a scenario where, and they've already talked about this, I've brought it up on the show before. They're thinking about giving you an app on your phone where you can store your Fed digital currency, and they'll just load it for you every month. It's so much easier than checks and going through unemployment offices. I mean, it really streamlines it. They'll sell it to you on some level of efficiency. Plus, just at the stroke, I mean, if they pass a bill to get stimulus out, boom, it's on your app that day, the next day. But just like the Chinese, what will end up happening is that eventually there'll be some rules on this money. You'll only be able to spend it on certain things. They'll pick their sectors on who they want to help out. They'll put time limits on it. Look, we need to get this money into the economy now, or this house of cards is going to, you got to spend this in the next 2 weeks or it's gone. It just disappears from your digital wallet on the app on your phone. And if you just, I don't know, don't get a vaccine, or if you're caught breaking a curfew, or if you speak out, or maybe they'll tie it to your social media. I was looking at this implementation of the social credit score in China. I believe that we will be just like the Chinese. Many people will applaud this. They will think that it is somehow going to make us all better citizens. And so what we saw over 2020, as bad as it was, can you imagine if it's tied to all of your income, essentially, that nothing will move? You will not make any money. You will not get a job. You will not get paid. And you will not get your monthly government stimmies if you do not toe the line of any policy that comes out of the government. That's the end game on this whole thing. Just digital currency servitude. Not to mention the fact that they would know if we move to an entirely digital currency. They'll know every nickel you make. You'll have the Fed loading money into your app on one side and the IRS getting a report of it out the other side. Same thing for any compensation you get. You want to sell something at a garage sale? That money will come to you digitally. The IRS will say, oh, wait a second now. We were looking over your tax return. We happen to notice that we're showing that you made $321 at a garage sale in February last year, and we don't see that reported anywhere on your tax return here. This idea of a digital currency is one of the most dangerous things I see coming our way. And because people are already so addicted to the convenience. Look, I use a debit card. It is convenient, isn't it? But I do know that we all need the escape hatch of still being able to use cash or transact in other ways. But I fear, just like what I've watched with COVID restrictions, where the vast majority of people just went, duh, okay. When governors declared mask mandates, when mayors declared curfews from 7:30 p.m. to 7:30 a.m., and everyone just said, duh, okay. I would imagine with this digital currency, the same thing is going to happen. There will not be anything you will regret quicker than a transition to a completely digital dollar, and particularly one that is run by the Federal Reserve. Because I can guarantee you, whatever the system that they do implement, it will not be designed for us useless eaters. It will be designed for the benefit of those at the very top. If we let ourselves become susceptible and vulnerable to something like this, it is going to be maybe the end game. I don't know how you get around this. Maybe some forms of local barter. Maybe all that's left, and they may get their meaty hooks into that as well. So beware of the Fed coin. This is something that I think our state legislatures need to get ahead of too. If they try to roll this on us nationally, the states are going to have to resist this, or we are really going to regret it. Beware the Fed coin. Be right back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
All right. it. We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I wanted to get to this Rand Paul stuff. Rand Paul challenged Anthony Fauci. If you watch the news, I'm sure you saw the exchange between the two of them. It was very short. I'll play with the media, let us see, of the Fauci thing. It was couched as, you know, Rand Paul taking on the mini Mengele, Anthony Fauci. How dare he question the science? And Anthony Fauci, of course, very dismissive. I will just point out, Rand Paul's a libertarian-leaning guy. See, say what you will about libertarians. You don't like some of our ideas about real freedom, but we actually believe the stuff we say. And Rand Paul's not having any of it with this lockdown stuff. He's been one of the most vocal against all of these restrictions because he actually believes, being raised by Ron Paul, he actually believes this. He's not a Republican that just says, well, wear your mask, get your shots. We need to reopen the economy. But you know, Republicans weren't real big. I don't know if you notice here in the red state, weren't real big about just fighting for your freedoms. Kristi Noem was up in South Dakota. I've talked a lot about Kristi Noem on this show, about how much I appreciated her stance to let people live their lives there, just educate them. She gave a great speech at CPAC about this idea of freedom and just informing people and letting them make their own decisions. But here's the thing. I'm going to show you how I do this here. Now we're getting news that I had heard that Kristi Noem didn't have a great voting record. She was in the House of Representatives at one point. Her voting record was not great pro-freedom. She's opposing medical marijuana in her state. The people voted for it, and she is trying to noodle around with it the same way Delbert Hosman is too. See, it's so easy for me to now criticize Kristi Noem because I do this one weird thing that most Americans don't do. I don't fall in love with politicians. If they do something that I think is good, I praise it. And if they do something bad, I criticize it. See, I voted for Donald Trump, and I praise him when he does good, and when he doesn't, I criticize him. I didn't have to fall in love with him and just blanket support him and be begging for him to come back in 2024. I don't have to carry water for Joe Biden as we watch his quite obvious mental decline. I don't have to carry water for Joe Biden because I wouldn't have fallen in love with Joe. I mean, I can't stand Joe Biden. Don't think I've ever voted for a Democrat outside of Sheriff Mack, but there are people on the left that will just have to refuse to admit that Joe Biden is doing this or doing that because they don't dare admit they were wrong. Well, see, I'm never wrong about Kristi Noem as a person because I just pick out these particular things. Kristi Noem is now looking to gut the protection for girls' sports against trans men in girls' sports, which is, just seems absolutely ridiculous. I don't know what she's thinking. She's riding high. She's probably a DeSantis gnome ticket going into 2024. She plays her cards right, and now she's going to carry water for trans men going into girls' sports in South Dakota? I don't know what she's doing, but it makes it very nice to be able to just... Hey, Rand Paul, one of the best senators we've ever had. Because he votes pro-freedom, he causes a stink when I think a stink needs to be caused. He's very alone. But at the same time, I talked about when Rand Paul ran for president in 2016, I thought he did a terrible job. He tried to play the establishment war game a little bit. I just couldn't believe he was Ron Paul's son, some of the things that came out of his mouth. So I criticized him heavily during that campaign. Still, he would probably be better than 99% of the people they'd give us as a president, but still, he's got his faults. Anyway, this was Rand Paul, what you heard on the media, his exchange with Anthony Fauci about the mask wearing.
You're telling everybody to wear a mask, whether they've had an infection or a vaccine. What I'm saying is they have immunity, and everybody agrees they have immunity. What studies do you have that people that have had the vaccine or have had the infection are spreading the infection? If we're not spreading the infection, isn't it just theater?
Yes. No, it's not.
The vaccine and you're wearing two masks. Isn't that theater?
No, that's not. Here we go again with the theater. Let's get down to the.
So that was what you heard on the mainstream media. And it was, you know, just shown as Anthony Fauci fighting against this radical Rand Paul. This is another part of Rand Paul's time where he got to speak that we didn't hear on the mainstream media. And maybe this is why they focused us all on this exchange between Anthony Fauci and Rand Paul, where Fauci dismisses his idea as just theater. By the way, I think that's exactly what masks are. Did you watch any of the March Madness? I'm obsessed with watching the coaches and their masks, or the referees, or the players. I mean, the virtue signaling and the lack of effectiveness, unless somehow they are really just avoiding big waves of COVID for those sparse little times they have their mask on. What the hell have they got those things on their face for? They're off the majority of the time. They're yelling. They're shouting. They're running up and down the court. They're getting in each other's face, violating everything that the so-called experts tell us are science on COVID. But they can't, but they're wearing the mask, so I guess they're being safe. I mean, it is the just the worst, most ignorant signaling I've ever seen of just this idea of, well, I need to appear to be obedient, but I'm not going to implement any practices that would actually possibly, maybe in some scenario, make a mask effective. It's just, it's laughable to watch the mask handling at these things. Although I love the tournament. I'm glad they just need to rip them off and say, this is ridiculous. We're not playing your little, we're all scared game. This was Rand Paul talking about antibodies and stuff, which is a much more important part of his presentation when he was talking in front of Congress.
Shane Crotty, a virologist at La Jolla Institute for Immunology, concludes from his experiments that the amount of immune memory gained from natural infection would likely prevent the vast majority of people from getting hospitalized disease, severe disease for many years. In this study...
Now, here's the problem. Boy, wouldn't this, if this took off, and this again, he's quoting somebody who is in immunology at a university who's doing research on these things. Ooh, if this really caught mainstream, can you imagine what this would do to big pharma vaccine profits? This would be no good. Just listen to this. This is decimation to pharmaceuticals' new ideas of a booster every 6 months for COVID.
Which was published in Science, Dr. Crotty showed that antibody levels stayed relatively constant with only modest declines over 6 to 8 months. Dr. Crotty reported that, notably, memory B cells specific for the spike protein, or RBD, were detected in almost all COVID-19 cases with no apparent half-life at 5 to 8 months after infection. In other words, Dr. Crotty found significant evidence of long-term immunity after COVID infection. Furthermore, Dr. Crotty noted B-cell memory to some other infections has been observed for as long as 60-plus years after smallpox vaccination, or even 90 years after natural infection with influenza. That was a woman who got the Spanish flu, still showed immunity 90 years later.
Oh, dear. So there are studies being done that show that if you were exposed to this thing, if you built your own natural antibodies to this thing, you're looking at, you know, barely any lack of immunity to this disease, which completely flips on its head this idea that not only do you have to get one shot, you need to get two shots. We know there's going to be a third shot rolled out, and I would imagine the pharmaceutical companies are already baking into their books going forward that this is going to be an annual COVID shot. But with coronavirus, this coronavirus, this COVID, and its variants are all based on this spike protein. And what he's saying is this immunologist at Loyola has already done the study and said once you develop the antibody for this spike protein, it lasts for a long time and may last for a really long time. Boy, the pharmaceutical companies certainly don't want that information getting out, do they?
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
Final segment for the day here on the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Again, if you want to email your bets on the Joe Biden over-under, when is Joe Biden replaced as President of the United States? I'll try to put a prize to this. I don't know. With what we're seeing these days, you might need to get those in quickly. It could be any day now. Do people know? I've got to find out the details on this. I believe Joe Biden had his skull cut open twice for some pretty significant surgeries. And I know, you know, my father had a brain injury too. It changes you. It makes cognitive function more difficult at the very least. But it's they didn't even talk about this during the election. Nothing. They tried to even gloss over his age, but really you had two very old men going for the same office. But Joe Biden's already got some mental problems. This is going to just be a very smooth transition. They can move. The bottom line is they can take Joe Biden out at any minute. They just pull him aside and go, look, Joe, great job. You took the election away. Now you've done your time. It's time for us to get to business. We know you'd probably rather be sitting at home anyway. It's what you try to do most days. Think of all the naps, Joe, if you just step aside. So they could do this at any moment, but we don't know when. I mean, Joe Biden he's palatable to a lot of people. And so that goes a long way to do things that, you know, so people won't pay attention. It's just like, you know, Barack Obama was smooth, first black president, smooth guy. He got away with a huge, huge industry giveaway with Obamacare because everybody looked at him and said, oh, look how great. Oh, he just loves us to death. And so it is this veneer. I don't think Kamala Harris has that same kind of, you know, she's more harsh. She's kind of like Hillary Clinton. People may be a little bit more suspicious of her. So Joe Biden's probably going to be good to get a few really terrible things through our government by using his face. As hard as it is to believe, listeners to this station, I'm sure, are not on board with anything. You're suspicious of every time Joe, when he opens his mouth. But you have to understand, a lot of us really fail to comprehend that the average American out there that is not really paying attention to a lot of political stuff, they don't know any of these. They just look at this guy and, I don't know, he seems kind of nice. He seems a little folksy. It's hard to believe when you really pay attention to what's going on to believe that people. We had people that were supporting Hillary Clinton, thought that Hillary Clinton loved them, thought that anybody who opposed Hillary Clinton just didn't like strong women. That people actually believed that. It did. I mean, all of the things that are so easy to realize about Hillary Clinton and the criminal that she is. But a lot of people never hear that criminal stuff. You know, we talk about the mainstream media doesn't cover this. They essentially carry water for all of these establishment Democrats. A lot of these people that I'm talking about who go, oh, I think Hillary Clinton would be great. It'd be great to have a woman president. You know, the woman on the street interviews that we saw during 2016. These people don't even watch the mainstream media. They just kind of know who Hillary Clinton is. Maybe they get a little something out of their Facebook group. You know, everybody's in their little social media bubbles. But they don't ever hear any of the stuff about, I mean, there are people who don't know anything about Bill going to Epstein Island and Hillary going with him, or people don't understand that Hillary Clinton was running this big charity scam, the Clinton Global Initiative, which she shut down as soon as she lost the presidential election, which is just on its face so obvious. Yet there are a lot of people in this country right now, should Hillary Clinton, you know, Joe Biden goes down and Hillary wants to move it, they'd take her. They would take her in a heartbeat because they just don't know. I got to tell you, though, as bad as Kamala Harris is, if there is any bright spot to a Kamala Harris vice president assuming the presidency at some point, the only bright spot I can even possibly imagine is the idea that, well, Hillary Clinton's got to live with that. Hillary Clinton would have to live with the idea that the first female president of the United States was Kamala Harris. Talk about a real lightweight. I mean, I don't know. Maybe Kamala's involved in some real high-level criminality. I wouldn't be the least bit surprised, but she seems like a bit of just a hack. She just kind of worked the system. She's just kind of gross, you know, kind of gross in your generic political way. She's not a deep thinker in any way. She'll do whatever she's told to. She carries all the party lines. She jumps into the fray on any social justice warrior issue, but she just seems kind of gross. But I mean, Hillary Clinton was operating on a whole nother level of corruption. I mean, she had really kind of perfected and honed political graft. I don't think we've ever seen anything like the Clinton Global Initiative. We're talking about billions and billions of dollars flowing where Hillary Clinton wanted them. And I imagine a substantial amount of it probably found its way to the Clintons themselves and the lifestyle that they are enjoying. So, as I say, If there's any bright spot of a Kamala Harris presidency when Joe Biden goes down, it will be that Hillary Clinton has to sit with the fact that she couldn't become the first lady president, that Kamala Harris, this hack that never accomplished the level of graft and greed that Hillary Clinton did, somehow outsmarted her and found her way into the Oval Office. Oh, kind of makes you shudder to even think of President Kamala Harris. Listener sent me an email. It's talking about defense spending and this report that China is going to best us really quickly if we don't do something soon. Listener sent me an article from last week. Jockeying over defense funding is heating up among expectations President Biden will request an essentially flat Pentagon budget for the next year. This past week, a group of progressive Democrats and Biden urged Biden in a letter to significantly slash defense spending. The letter sparked fierce backlash from Republicans who viewed defense cuts as a red line and would like to see the budget increase. Of course, the Republican Party, sponsored by wars, many of the Democrats too, don't get me wrong, Joe Biden, Hillary Clinton are warmongers just as well. They have fed at the trough of the military contractors. But boy, when are you Republicans going to stand up and say, quit? You want to be more safe? Pull us out of Afghanistan, out of Syria, out of Iraq, out of Libya, out of Somalia, out of Yemen, out of South Korea, out of Germany. You want us to be more secure? Spend the money wisely. Don't keep asking for more. It's not working if you haven't noticed. Gotta go. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.